Before I read today's promise, Promise 53, I want you to know that you're going to need a piece of paper or a journal and a pen or pencil. So if you need to press pause and come back in a minute or a little later, don't worry, I will be waiting right here where you left me. Promise 53, and I'll read it to you three times. It will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65:24. It will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65:24. It will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65:24. Over these sheltered-in-place months, I have been reading in history, philosophy, fiction, theology, really wonderful voices as varied as Thomas Aquinas, Montaigne, good old Napoleon, Thoreau, C.S. Lewis. But the perspective, aside from Scripture, that has most drawn my heart to the Lord has been that of the Stoic philosopher Epictetus, who lived during the very same time as the early church. I couldn't stop myself from reading right through his fragments, as they're called, and then all the way through all four of his discourses, and I found myself consistently moved by two things: his relentlessness in trying to look to God, and his total resignation in giving himself over to the will of that God. Epictetus lived a true self-abandonment. He firmly believed that the will of God would practically lead and guide his life. If he prayed a prayer, it was for a greater personal understanding that God already knew and that he, Epictetus, might more fully reside in God's will and provision. What a beautiful posture to see in a virtuous pagan. In fact, if you'll humor me, I would like to read a few stretches of his best writings on those subjects. And I'm going to slowly read them, and then I'll offer just a quick thought or two. And then we're going to get into the connection with today's promise and that activity for which you'll be needing the paper and pen. So here we go. Epictetus on God and trust. Lift up your neck at last, like a man escaped from bondage. Be bold to look toward God and say, "Use me henceforward for whatever you will. I am of one mind with you. I am yours. I crave exemption from nothing that seems good in your sight. Where you will, lead me. In what raiment you will, clothe me. Would you have me to hold office or remain in private life? To remain here or go into exile? To be poor, to be rich? I will defend all these your acts before men. I will show what the truest nature of each thing is." Or in other words, "You have already set me free from bondage. Your sovereign will is always truly good and right. So now I bind myself to you. I want nothing that you don't yourself give. And I will always point everyone to the true goodness of your ways." Next. "I have considered all this. No one has authority over me. I have been set free by God. I know his commands. No one has power any longer to make a slave of me. I have the right kind of emancipator and the right kind of judge. I regard God's will as better than my will. I shall attach myself to him as a servant and follower. My choice is one with his. My desire one with his. In a word, my will is one with his will." Or in other words, "Being free, I will be free. The one who emancipated me is the very one who also will judge. And so I attach the full weight of my will to the fuller understanding of his will. His will is everything. His will is life itself." Then, Does God so neglect his own creatures, his servants, his witnesses, whom alone he uses as examples to the uninstructed to prove that he both is and governs the universe well and does not neglect the affairs of men, and that no evil befalls a good man either in life or in death? I obey. I follow, lauding my commander and singing hymns of praise about his deeds. For I came into the world when it pleased him, and I leave it again at his pleasure. And while I live, this was my function, to sing hymns of praise unto God, to myself and to others, be it to one or to many. Or in other words, our individual lives are the proof point for all the wonders and glories of our God. Let our song, then, as evidences of him, be ever after praise unto him. And then finally, for the reason you created me, I am grateful. For what you have given me, I am grateful also. The lengths of time for which I have had the use of your gifts is enough for me. Take them back again and assign them to what place you will, for they were all yours, and you gave them to me. Is it not enough for a man to take his departure from the world in this state of mind? And what among all the kinds of life is superior to this, or more seemly than he who is so minded, and what kind of end is more fortunate? Or in other words, in life and in death, what could be better than gratitude, trust, and absolute surrender to the will of God? Is nothing finer, is anything finer, than to know his power and character and to there place the full weight of our hope? So, in that same spirit of surrender and trust, what are we to do with a God who, before we even have the chance to call or speak, is already in the process of answering? How should we be learning to trust a Savior who is presently leaning forward at the edge of his throne, not wanting to miss even a whisper of the beginning of one of our simplest prayers? How? In what way? I would say, by engaging. I would add, by doing. So with your paper and pen in hand, here's what I want you to do now. I want you to draw a line right down the middle of the page or pages, and then on the left-hand side, I want you simply to write down every single present prayer request you can think of. Everything, like no matter how great or small they are. Try not to leave anything out that has been on your mind at all. And then on the right-hand side, opposite each prayer request, I want you to make note of what it actually means to you that not only is he leaning forward to hear that prayer, not only does he already know the entirety of that request, not only does he already know all the circumstances involved in the lead up to and the making of that request, he has already, in his perfect knowledge, made an answer. What does that mean to you? How does it change your posture within that prayer? All right, the rest of this time is yours. Go for it.